I got to keep reading this. It's powerful. Start with me at verse 49. While he was speaking, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto Jairus, essentially, your daughter's gone. Don't trouble Jesus. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, hear these words. Some of you need to mark this verse down, go home and write it down somewhere where you can see it. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You can fill in the blank on the latter part of that sentence for your situation. Fear not, believe only, and those things you desire shall begin to happen. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. Don't mourn for something that's not gone. If they still have breath, church, there's still hope for them. If it is not destroyed, there's hope. Don't mourn. Don't weep. For mourning is the assumption that it's over. Don't let yourself start praying in pity. God is not moved by our pity. He's moved by your faith. Don't weep over these things and assume that it's already too far gone, too far away from your reach. But be at peace, because sleep means that life will once resume from what was once idle. Life will come forth again from that which you perceived as gone. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And as we believe in him, we are made alive in Christ today. And by that cross of Christ, we have healing. By his sacrifice, we have forgiveness. By his sacrifice, we have moral integrity to be people that are separate from the world and to be an example for people that just don't know any better. Verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. I don't know if you're aware, but in this day and time, if you had a little bit of money when your loved ones were sick, it was customary to hire professional grievers. They would come and weep beside you for a nominal fee. And those that were grieving for money heard this, because anybody that was related or even cared at all would have not laughed at this moment. But the people that were there just mourning and then burst into laughter over this statement, they were sent out. What does that tell us? That when the enemy's laughing at you, you have to rebuke it. When he tells you you can't, you must dismiss it. I cannot do it for you. I can pray in the name of Jesus that you do, but you must choose to dismiss the devil. Because I'm here to tell you that the devil's even more open and available than Walmart. 24/7, 365, including holidays and hours which you're not even aware that he's there. If you'll let him torment you, he will. He wants you to behold him. This is the same desire he had that got him tossed from heaven. He wanted people to behold him. He wants your focus to be on him. He wants you to believe that you're not able, so that you bow under his dominion. He wants you to believe that you have to live depressed and not live in the joy of the Lord. He wants you to behold his power and bow unto him. He came to Jesus in the same way right before he gave his life for us. And Jesus did not bow. He did not give in. He had been in the wilderness, mustering up the courage and the strength as a human being to do what he had to do for our lives. So that tells me that through what he did for us, we possess, get this, the same ability to tell Satan, no. That's a revelation. That's a life changer. You can take it or leave it. When we receive Christ in the fullness of him, then we walk with the same power of the word as he did. I tell that devil every single day, I've been delivered from depression for probably 5 years now. I don't hear very many people testify of that because I'm sure they're afraid to. But I just don't stay delivered. I fight for it. I don't just wait and hope for the best. But I get up every day and I declare unto the enemy that you will not win over my mind. I have fought for my family and declared unto the enemy, you shall not take them. And I have declared over this church all the years I've been here, Though we might get low in number and low in spirit, devil, you are not going to put us under, because there is a greater purpose for what God is doing, not only for you, but for others around you. Because while we're rejoicing, we better make room for the ones with issues, so that when they come in, they can have enough faith to reach Jesus Christ and be saved. And those that need a long-term move, that we'll make room and show them that they can do this, because we've made it through a few things. There have been greater church services had even than what we've had tonight over less of what has been spoken. But we have grown so numb to the value of God's blessings that it takes hearing just about everything in a service to get us just to praise Him. I don't know about you, but He woke me up. He's given me a brand new day. He has allowed me the privilege of having a wonderful wife. I feel it in my heart. He has blessed me with a great group of people here that love me. He has given me a ministry that I didn't deserve. He has opened up the Word in ways that has changed me forever. He has given me songs I could have never sung on my own, that reaches lives I could have never touched. He has blessed me, and I want to make room for those that have problems and issues, because I know that if I just stand and celebrate me, there's others that need to see Jesus that can't see Him. We're so busy in just getting our own that we miss those that have the issue, that need to touch Jesus, that need to see Jesus in us. But we're all, don't bother the Master. When I received the full-blown baptism of the Holy Ghost, we had already been in prayer service for an hour and 45 minutes. Now, I'm just going to be frank with you. I've not been in very many times where people have prayed for longer than maybe 20, 30 minutes, let alone house services. I mean, the telephone rings, everybody gets easily just, you know. It had been an hour and 45 minutes in this move. And I look back at all the times God helped me, and I see new things in it. They were making room for me. They were making room for me. He said to rejoice when that one that is lost is found, to not glory in the 99, but to rejoice in the one that's saying, make room for those that are stuck in the thicket. Make room for those that need God greater. Come to church and be obedient and show somebody that they can receive a miracle. Demonstrate the things that God is doing for you, and it will bless others. Let's read this. And they laughed him to scorn, verse 53, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her what? Spirit came again. And that's amazing. That's the first thing that God touches. Before He ever gets to your body, He touches your spirit. Before I've ever received healing in my body, I have felt the anointing of God come forth, and then everything else began to be healed within me. I felt the anointing of God concerning what I've prayed for, and then all of a sudden, as the Word of God says, if you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, then all these other things began to be added unto you. The things that the devil had stolen, he begins to put them back into your borders and let you claim what is rightfully yours. You need to claim healing tonight. You need to claim deliverance from the torments of the mind. You need to claim your financial miracle. You need to claim deliverance for your children. You need to claim deliverance against the enemy's attacks and bringing of division, maybe to your family or to your workplace. You need to claim that God is moving mightily, because you just never know when the day's coming when you begin to see God's hand move. And in those moments of encouragement is when you begin to see it even greater. Tonight that might be for you. I want to read one more part. Go with me to the 22nd chapter of Genesis in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. We're going to bring this out in another way. Spoken to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar and upon the wood. This is going to be powerful for somebody in here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. This is the turnaround moment for this situation. He said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou, what, fearest God, seeing thou hast not, hear this, withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. We're only going to read one more verse. And looked, and behold him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. When you have went as far as you can go and feel like you're about to lose the most precious thing of your life, know that you will only have to go so far in your faith before God will begin to move. But he must see within you that you're willing to follow through on your faith all the way, even to the point where you could say, Lord, even if I lose it, even if I lose this battle, even if I lose what I desire for change, I will trust you. When we've done all that we can and we've been encouraged as much as we can, all that God requires of you is to let him have what you've got, your problems, your discouragement, your fears and your worry, and let him have it completely. For when he sees that you fear him to the point that you would give up what is most dear to you, things begin to turn around. The first job, I know some of you have heard this testimony. I graduated college and I needed work really bad. I couldn't find anything, and I'd been praying for about 3 months. And we had already left the nest of our folks' house for probably about 6 or 7 years. Just move out from your parents' house and try to go back in. And I'll tell you, it's a different experience than it was when you first were there. Because the sticks were put out, you're gone, they already renovated your room to their gym. And by the time you go back, it's different. And we were praying, and I felt like, God, I need a job, because we really need this first part of our lives to unlock and unfold. And I've been looking and searching and applying, and I looked all that I know to do. And I finally came to church one night and had my Abraham moment. I said, God, if it's meant for me not to have it right now, then I'm going to trust you. That was hard for me to say. I feel like I'm one of those scrappers. If I couldn't do what I'm doing for a living right now, I'd go to Wendy's and work. And if they wouldn't hire me, I'd go dig a ditch. I've got to work. That's what I do. I'm a scrapper. And I was desperate, because I was getting bored. Because if you get bored, that's dangerous territory. And just out of nowhere, I believe it was on a weeknight, my dad comes out of nowhere and gives me a newspaper. And I'm like, Dad, who even gets jobs out of newspapers? I'm not going to find anything in here for me. I maybe didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. But then there was one in there, and I called about it. In a couple days, they called me back, and that was where I first got hired. When we finally will be willing to go without what we are wanting and trust God with it to the fullest extent of our love for it, and he sees the fear in us to believe, he unlocks things and works them for our good. We have many needs in this congregation right now. Even when we don't see it, even when we lose things, God is still good. He does not fail us. Even when we don't see it, he does not fail us. And we're reading about just a couple of father figures in here. But I don't even have to say what makes a good father. But it's someone that is concerned for their children. God the Father is concerned for you. And he wants to move in your life greater than maybe what you have allowed to happen. You've heard the expression, I'm sure, that we've put limits on God. That means that we only feel so much and think, well, this is all that I have to feel. This is only as far as I should go. And this is all, you know, I don't have to give all that I have unto this need if God shows me. I just got to give a little bit. But every time I just let God do it, he blesses me. And here's an example. I give somebody money. I don't look for the money to come back to me, but I look for an equal amount of blessing given back to me with the same love that I give it in. I'm preaching tonight not because I'm one of these people that I feel like I'll get paid for my work. I'm not up here trying to collect dues. I'm not up here collecting tithes. I'm here because I know that if I give of me what God has given me, that God will return unto me the blessings that I know that he has for me. And I'm not worried about it. I know that he'll put me exactly where he wants me to live, that he'll keep me doing a job that he wants me to do, that when it's time for me to have children, that he'll arrange the perfect hour for that to come. And I've learned that, God, if I have to go unemployed for a season, or if I just don't have a house for a while, or, Lord, if I never get to have children, I know that you are still God over me. This whole weekend has been about faith. Everything we've been preaching is about encouraging your faith. Because when all other mediums that God tries to speak to you and has failed you, there is one thing that never leaves you. We, even as we are born into this world, are born with faith. And if God can just have one moment with you, he can take faith that is small and water it with his anointing, and that through the light of God and the truth of his word springs forth something that is living and breathing. In other words, moving to his will and obedient unto his command. That's what he wants from us. I feel like I need to sum it up, so I'm going to try. We come to God in our concerns, and he cares for them, and he will bring comfort for your concerns. But don't take the silence of God as an absence of God. But as we preached it on Friday, that is his way of showing you he trusts you. The same way he trusted Job. That's why he believed in him and let the heads up. He believed that he would hang on. And Job went through the silence. Don't let the silence of God be an absence to you. And during these times, let other moments that are happening to others, that are blessing them, be of encouragement to you. Don't count them small. If someone comes in and says that God has moved for my family and has caused things to be better, then you receive that as faith encouraging to you that things are going to begin to be better. If you hear of somebody being delivered of drugs, you receive that like it's your own child. And you'll begin to see things turn around. It's your home. Because God does not bless anybody without it being glory coming out of that situation. That through his glory, we are encouraged. One day, that's what all that heaven is going to be. The eternal worship of the glory of God. And I'm looking forward to it. We finally won't have to deal with the tests of sickness and strife and envyings and murmurings and murderers and crime and detriment and lack and hunger. We'll finally get to be in fellowship in the eternal glory of God. But while we're here, you're going to suffer a little while. But remember, these wilderness are temporary. Children of Israel were instructed by God to put up tents when they finally reached where they were going to live, and to go into those tents and live for a few days as tribute to where they had been. They didn't set up stone tents. They set up little shacks to go into. It was supposed to be a humbling ground to remind them of what they'd been through. You know what our tent is? Here, the temple of God that we assemble together in, where we can remind each other through our struggles, through our pain, through our tears and sorrow, that we don't need to weep or mourn for what we don't see, but to be faithful and encouraged. Every person that he sent forth, even before they had the miracle, what did he send them out in? In peace. He said, walk out in peace. He said, go in peace. You shall be made whole. They didn't have it right then. Go in peace. You have to receive the peace of God before you can ever do the word of God. That's what praise and worship is for. I can't stress it enough. If we miss the first half of the service and don't get in worship, then it's so much harder for the word of God to come forth. Why? Because we're not humble. And instead of evaluating it with a humble heart, you come at the sermon with your pride. And then we'll call what I like to call the captain correctors in the house. They're like, well, that's not how it exactly reads, Brother Meredith. Let me give you that scripture. That's not how I read it, brother. And instead of receiving what God is speaking, we get caught up in the isms and schisms. We get caught up in the division and trying to evaluate things with our pride instead of our spirit. To discern is to evaluate with your spirit. And you can find good in anything. If I can find good in a rainbow, after service, if you want to see it, I have a picture of it. If you can find good in a rainbow, or seeing the wind hit the leaves on a peaceful day, in the silence and the stillness of peace in your home, if you can find God in those times, then you know exactly about the moments we're talking about. Don't let them pass you by. Let the tears run sometimes. Let yourself laugh again. It's okay. Just because I failed doesn't mean I can't laugh. I've got plenty that you can laugh at. Just ask me sometime. I've done a lot of mistakes. You can laugh at them all you want. Are you blessed tonight? I'm not wasting my time on a group of people I don't believe in. I believe in you. And I believe in what I see in you. You know what I see? Greater is he that is in you. I see greater is he that is in you. Greater I see in you. I don't see the defeat that you see with your eyes. I see the victory by faith in Christ Jesus. Receive that tonight and go out of here a new creature in him.